We continue our journey through the Bible in Ezekiel chapters 27 and 28 this week as Ezekiel begins to, he continues to pronounce the judgment of God that is coming upon this city of Tyre. And then in the latter part of chapter 28, the sister city of Sidon. Tonight we will be studying these two chapters, but this morning we want you to look with us at chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. Ezekiel declares that this is the word of the Lord that came again unto him, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a God, and I sit in the throne of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though you have set your heart as the heart of God. The historic setting for this particular chapter is that Tyre is soon to be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. He is going to begin a siege against the city of Tyre, which will last for 13 years, and the end result will be the destruction of this city of Tyre that was built there on the mainland in the southern coast of Lebanon. As we pointed out in the prophecy last week, the destruction of Tyre would not be complete by Nebuchadnezzar, for the people would basically move from the mainland to the island that was a half mile offshore. And the city would continue to prosper until the time of Alexander the Great, when he would complete the rest of the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 26. But Tyre was one of the wealthiest and most beautiful cities in the world. The king of Tyre was an extremely wise man. He was a shrewd businessman. And by his wisdom and business acumen, he was able to really amass tremendous wealth in Tyre, to where it was just the wealthiest nation or the wealthiest city almost in the ancient world. Because of his tremendous wisdom and shrewd business dealings, people began to acclaim him with divine powers as though he were a god. His mistake is that he began to accept that concept that he was a god, and he began to declare that he was God and began to receive the worship, the adulation, the admiration of all of these people. Now the city of Tyre is soon to be destroyed, and the king of Tyre will be slain. And so with great satire, the prophet said in verse 9, will you say to the one that is ready to slay you, you can't do this, I am God. But you shall be a man and no God in the hand of him that slays you. You may have accepted the title of God. You may accept the worship of the people as though you were a God. But you're a man, you're going to die like a man. And when the fellow is ready to slay you, then are you going to say, well, I am God? You are not a God, you are a man. Now, throughout history, men have made the claim that they were gods. Today, there are many voices that are declaring that you are God or that you can become as God. The New Age movement, with its demonic channeling, is bringing this so-called enlightened truth to man. They say that man has come to the stage of the next development in the evolutionary process, and that men are evolving into the God state, into the God conscious state. They say that evolution is basically an evolution of consciousness, and that many men have already made this next transition in our evolutionary development, and some have already become gods and have entered into this God-conscious state. And we hear an awful lot today about the developing and the understanding of our human potential. School children in the public schools are told to meditate, to lie on the floor and to meditate, and they are led into the discovery of the hidden powers within, and are encouraged to seek, to know and to understand the hidden powers that are within themselves. We have programs in our public schools that are designed to help promote self-esteem. How great and how wonderful is that potential that is in you? The rich, the beautiful and talented Hollywood movie stars are leading the world down the tube of moral corruption, and they are being worshiped as gods and goddesses. These New Age channelers, the demons that are speaking through them, are informing people of the fact that they are as gods and can become gods. In India, these gurus, Sai Baba and others, professed holy men, have brought their enlightenment to the Western world. And the rich and the famous and the jaded people of the West, who have tasted of everything that the world has to offer and found it empty, are making their pilgrimage by the thousands to the ashrams in India to sit at the feet of these holy men and to learn from them how they also can ascend into the God state of which these men claim that they have done, that they have gone through a transition and that they have become possessed by God and thus are gods. For a long time, the Mormon Church has been telling the people how to become gods. If you will faithfully follow the tenets of Mormonism, if you will go through the temple rites that were borrowed by Joseph Smith from the Scottish Masonic Order, if you will be, you can become gods, and when you die, you will be given some planet in the universe to populate and to watch over. But not to be outdone, there are many of the heretical Christian evangelists who have taken up this same doctrine of demons and are now proclaiming that we are gods. This proclamation by the charismatic evangelist was a natural progression of thought from their faith teachings. You see, they have taught that if you exercise faith, and if you begin to understand faith, that through faith you can have whatever you want. That God is obligated to honor the request that you make or the demands that you make through faith, and that you can speak things into existence. The power of the spoken word, as you speak the word of faith, and it then becomes reality. The will of God is not so important in their teaching. In fact, if you would pray, "Lord, nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done," they say that is a spiritual cop-out, that you can have your will and that you can have whatever you want. God has become in their theology as the genie who is bound to respond to your demands to help you create your own reality through your words of faith. Now, if God is subservient to me, if God has to obey my desires and my wishes, if God is bound to honor my request, that means that I then am in control of my own destiny. I am in control of my own fate. I have become, in essence, God, and God has become my servant, bound to do my will. And thus, as you take that thought and develop it, I am God. And unfortunately, they did take their teaching into that next step and have proclaimed that they are gods. If the prophet Ezekiel were writing to them today, and to some of the followers who by faith have stepped out and gone down and ordered a Rolls Royce and have bought beautiful homes, laying claim, speaking the word of faith, I'm sure that the prophet Ezekiel would say to them, like he did the king of Tyre, "And when you stand before the bankruptcy judge, are you going to say, 'I am God'?" You'll discover that you're just a man. Now, Ezekiel points out that there is really nothing new about this lie. Though they call it the New Age, what they are declaring has been since the beginning. In verse 12 of this chapter, as Ezekiel takes up the lamentation against the king of Tyre, suddenly, and in a mystic way, he goes beyond the king of Tyre, and the prophecy now is being addressed unto Satan, and thus the description of Satan and of Satan's fall. Notice he is described as the seal of perfection. He is described as full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, as having been in Eden, the garden of God, and covered with precious gems, a ruling cherub, and having been in the holy mountain of God, but he is to be cast out of the mountain of God and destroyed. And thus, the prophecy against Tyrus as he mystically now puts Satan in that place because the idea and the concept came from Satan. So he addresses the origin of that concept that you are God, which actually goes back to Satan. In Isaiah, the 14th chapter, it tells us of the sin that caused Satan's fall from his exalted position of the anointed cherub that ruled or covered. It calls him Lucifer, which means son of the morning. And he said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and finally, I will be like the Most High. His ambition to be God, his desire to be God, was the thing that perpetrated his fall. Now, when God created man, the Bible tells us that God created man in his own image and after his own likeness. You were created in the image and in the likeness of God, whatever that may have entailed. But man, through sin, fell from that likeness and image of God. If you look at man today, you cannot see or understand what God is like. Man has fallen from that likeness. There is only one that you can look at in history and understand what God is like, and that is Jesus Christ. And he said, "He that hath seen me has seen the Father." He came as God to display and to show to us what God is like. Man was created originally in the likeness of God, but he fell from that likeness. And there seems to be within man an innate desire to be like God and as God. And when Satan came to Eve to tempt her to sin against the commandment of God, as she looked at the fruit of that tree that God had forbidden them to eat, Satan said unto her, "If you eat thereof, you will be as God, knowing good from evil." And that lure by which Satan himself fell was the same lure that he used with Eve, and she ate. It continues to work, and so Satan continues to use it. And thus, in so many areas, so many people are promising you that you can be as God. But there's a vast difference between the desire to be like God and the claim that I am God. In Isaiah 46, verse 8, God asked, "Is there a God beside me?" And then he answers, "There is no God, I know not any." Now, if God doesn't know of any, I'm sure that he knows of you, and he has rejected your claim. The Bible tells us that, Jesus tells us actually, that there will be many who will come in that day saying, "Lord, Lord, open the doors of heaven to us. For have we not prophesied in thy name and done marvelous miracles and have healed people in thy name?" And he will declare, "Depart, I never knew you." "But I am God." "Well, I never knew you." God said, "I don't know of any gods outside of himself." Now, man takes this desire of his fellow man to be like God, and he exploits it. Man is the ultimate exploiter. Always you'll find those people that are looking for something whereby they can exploit other people. And they take this basic desire to be like God, and they exploit it, and they will tell you how to become God. And you can go over to Sai Baba, and he will declare how to become God. But you see, one of the big hang-ups that you have is your possessions and your money. And that's a big hang-up on this road to godhood. And thus, if you will just get rid of all of your possessions and all of your money and turn it over to them, because now that they are God, they can handle it, you see. But you need to give it to them in order that you might learn how to become like God. It's the hang-up that's keeping you from. And they exploit this desire of man to be like God, and people are being ripped off. People are actually giving their possessions to these men, being exploited by them. I believe that this desire to be like God is planted into the hearts of man by God himself. In my heart, I want to be like God. I want to be pure. I want to be holy as he is holy. I want to be true as he is true. I want to be gracious and forgiving as he is gracious and forgiving. I want to be merciful as he is merciful. I long for these godly traits. And to this end, God has given to me the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he might indwell my life and through his power conform me again into the image of God. You see, in the beginning, God made you in his image. Man fell from that image. He has within an innate desire to again be in the image of God, and to that end, God has given us the Holy Spirit, that he working in us and through his power might make us into the image of God once again. Paul said that we, with unveiled faces, as we behold the glory of the Lord, are being changed from glory to glory into that same image by his Spirit that is working in us. John said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Like God? Yes. God, please help me and make it a reality in my life that I might be like you in your nature of love, in your character of purity and holiness. A God? Never. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You're a man. Your glasses are contact lens, your decaying teeth, your wrinkled skin, and death in time will prove it. You're not a God. And you're not to be worshiped as God. You don't have that power of God, and we're not in control of our own destinies, as some may wish to think, except that by my choice I choose heaven or hell. But God is in control of the universe. And I want God to be in control of my life. And I know that his ways are far wiser than mine, and thus I want him to guide me. I have no desire to guide God or to direct God concerning my life. That would be absolutely foolish. And that's what Paul was talking about in Romans 1 when he talks about the folly of man, who when they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, They began to exalt themselves, their own capacities, their own ideas, their own concepts above God. And it led to the depths of moral degradation. The desire to be like God is good. It is planted in your heart. It's innate within you. You see, that's what man was originally, created in the image of God. And God wants to restore you to that through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. But a God? No. Don't let people deceive you or confuse you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that you have given to us, that we by the Spirit might be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we long that we might be like you and manifest the traits that you manifested of loving, of forgiving, gracious, tender, sensitive, kind. And Lord, we want to be loving and forgiving and gracious and tender and sensitive and kind. So have your way, Lord, in our hearts. And make us, Lord, like you, a servant, willing to serve others and give yourself for others. And may that be our position also. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetting way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the things that I do to ever be sincerely true and know that all I do for you must need be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live for thee. Those who would advocate that you are God advocate a highly self-centered life. You are the supreme, and the world revolves around you as God. But when you become like Jesus Christ, then your heart and your life is devoted to others, to the benefit and the blessing of others. And when you become like him, you've become like God, not self-centered, but reaching out to touch others. God, make us like you. In Jesus' name.